Welcome to GamerCast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And this is episode... Can't see it because he's hidden the thing. 39. Couldn't remember that. Rudis is not here, so it'll be a little bit of a better show because we won't be dribbling on about God knows what.
Although, and we won't be calling everyone on the forums noobs.
No. Because we love you guys. But not like that.
Not like what?
Yeah, exactly. Again, yeah, there ain't much going on, but we're going to keep dragging the show along because we're waiting for the lull of the storm to finish. You know, it's the 20th of...
August.
August. Oh, August. Soon will be September, and the ball will start rolling, and we're going to end up with so much stuff that the episode,
oh, yeah.
I don't even think we'll fit it all in one episode.
Stuff, man.
You thought of some new stuff. But, got a few... Well, we had one letter... A reply from the
Well, we had two, but Catherine was saying about World of Warcraft because we said she didn't play.
Yeah, she just didn't want to play with us. Although you spent all your time just like running around, it's like I'm trying to do something. What does Paul do? There's a cow. I'll kill it. Ooh, there's a frog. I'll kill it. There's a wolf. I'll kill it. If it had a leg to stand on and hopped, Paul killed it in World of Warcraft.
I didn't kill everything. I didn't kill you, so shut up.
Yeah, thank God.
Right, letter. This is from Tony. This is in a reply to us talking about the Dead Rising demo last week.
Obviously, Tony's American, so they've already got it before us, so which is cool, so it means he's been able to...
Which is cool, because he can do the bloody review for us.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says, the game... doesn't work quite like the demo. For instance, you don't get cutscenes whenever you enter a new area. That sucks. I want cutscenes. There is always a sense of time urgency in the retail game, which can be quite annoying, but I've gotten over it. I guess it's more realistic and makes everybody's game different. I mean, how does having time limits make it more realistic? If it was real life, you'd have as much time in the killing of the zombies as you want.
Yeah, the time is how much energy you've got before the zombies catch up and remove your head and drink your guts.
Yeah, man.
I was hoping it was going to be more, you know, it's Grand Theft Auto with zombies where you can just go around and do whatever you want.
Grand Theft Zombie.
I was hoping to be able to just pick the controller up, jump in where our last was and just mooch about and it's like, right, what should I smash over a zombie's head today? Oh, look, there's a complimentary beer mug from the... crap things to buy your father on Father's Day gift shop, and I'll mix that together with a couple of flat screen TVs from the electrical shop, and then beat the rest of those zombies in the corner with a couple of bass guitars and electric piano from the music shop down the road. Oh, I've ran out of weapons. Oh, there's a cactus. Hit him with it. You know, I just thought it'd be quite cool to just be able to just wander around aimless.
A cactus is not a weapon. A cactus is a living plant. Unless it's dead.
Yeah.
In which case you can set it on fire and throw it down.
Cactus bomb! So yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it, but like I said to you at work...
Yeah, if you've got time, I'll show you Dead Rising.
I ain't buying an Xbox 360 until Halo comes out.
Well, I'm just... You know, if you don't want to see it, don't see it, but you know...
Oh no, I'll see the game, but I'm not buying an Xbox 360 for a while.
Jump back.
I'm PC man now. I'm a PC man.
You're a geek! Neat!
Radio.
Right. Oh, the Simpsons episode where the geeks chase after the football people on the field and they run off.
I am pure geek. I'm a mutant. I'm not a geek, I'm a mutant. I'm part geek, part skater, part gamer.
Right.
I like Star Wars, so.
Star Wars, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Let's watch Star Trek.
Yeah. Star Trek. Laura got this really cool game. It's a card game for tribbles.
Oh, God.
You multiply your cards with tribbles, and it's like, yeah, tribbles. But it didn't come with any tribbles. I wanted it to come with little furry tribbles.
Yeah, but if it's going to come with any, it needs to come with thousands of them, so we can stick them all in a cupboard. Then open a cupboard and get swamped by them.
It would be quite cool to have lots of tribbles and just
like
have
them. Like when Kirk got absolutely... When he opened the thing above him, and Kirk got totally pwned with the tribbles.
It does have a really cool picture of Quark sat in his bar with one sat on his head.
Deep Space Nine! Oh.
You weren't a fan then.
Deep Space Nine is good, but if you're trying to, you know, make the tribbles sound good, they were best in the original. Even though the original series of Star Trek was by the Next Generation standards, crap.
Yeah.
Although the first season of the Next Generation was borderline.
But it was all quite cool for them to go back, and they ended up on the Enterprise when they had the Tribbles problem. That's what the episode was in DS9, when they actually had the Tribbles on the DS9 station. They'd gone back and they were on Kirk's ship.
They went back in time?
Yeah, something like that. God,
I wish they would stop doing all that time travel.
I know.
It's ridiculous. Take what film is it? First Contact. Where the Borg cube gets blown up and the little sphere comes out, goes back in time, assimilates Earth. Why don't they just go back in time in the Delta Quadrant and then drive over to Earth and assimilate it then? Why do it in the middle of a big battle when, someone's possibly going to follow you back?
I know, and they're supposed to be super smart zombies, aren't they?
Exactly. You go back in time to like a billion years ago and you assimilate the entire universe.
I think it's kind of like the way up. The two things that make up the Borg is the mixture between the intelligence and ego, that they think nothing can stop them anyway. So they're like, why should I bother going back in time when I can just go take it now? It was only because of the fact that they got overconfident and the Enterprise pwned their ass that they were like, right, okay, plan B, yeah. You guys over on the right side of the ship, you were right. We should have gone back in time. But my ego got the best of me and I said we could just pwn straight away because we knew Picard wouldn't be there. I'd bring freeze without yogurt. So she had troubles.
Yeah, but the thing still is, the Borg, people say, oh, blah, 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 the Borg, blah, 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 whatever. They've sent two cubes against Earth, to my knowledge.
Mm.
Both times they've failed. I think they would. I mean, why the hell do they go directly to Earth anyway? The Klingons are close, so go assimilate them.
Yeah,
then you get the hardcore Klingon Borg.
Exactly, they could guess.
They always go straight to Earth. Want to take out some of the outlines? I mean, they did some of the colonies along the neutral zone. They wasted, but that was it. Suddenly, it was just, a single cube going to Earth.
I feel sorry.
Take out the rest of the fit. Take out the fucking Vulcans. They don't have any defenses.
I wonder if there was like a stupid small race on a planet, and the Borg turned up and said, "We want to assimilate you."
That made the Borg retarded.
And they were like, "Yeah, okay, we don't want to fight. Yeah, come down and join us." Thinking that they would just join and mingle, and they came, let the defenses down, and the whole Borg came in, and they're thinking, "Yeah, we're gonna have a party." I'm a Borg.
That's another thing I don't like. The new way of assimilating people with their zappy fingers. The weird thing comes out of their arm and
stabs you, and then they inject with...
The assimilation process is a long process.
Where they drag you off kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
But they were all kind of...
The thing is, if the Borg, like you said, if the Borg assimilated a stupid race, then the Borg would become stupider.
Yeah.
The Borg are just the combined collection of all the races they've assimilated.
Would they assimilate something that was stupid?
Exactly, that's why they don't go after the Vulcans, because the Vulcans are a pain in the ass. They live long and prosper.
Very true. I think the reason why they changed it for First Contact was because it was a movie, they wanted to give it an aspect of, zombies.
The last thing we need is a bunch of zombies running
around. So instead of them having to be dragged off, then be turned, the fact that they've still got their consciousness, but they're going through the turning process, is a bit like a zombie movie where someone gets bitten and they drop down and they're turning and then they're attacking someone at the last minute. So I suppose it was for that aspect.
Although the whole story of First Contact I thought was actually good.
It's one of my favourite.
The Earth story bit.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite ones.
The idiotic capitalists have destroyed the entire world in nuclear war, and you've got all these factions squabbling. Mm. And then out of that, one person with his fancy warp ship goes, "Vzzz!" And then the Vulcan's going to say, "Yo, live long and prosper."
They should do a rap video.
I somehow doubt the Vulcan to be impressed.
Okay, we really went off on one there. Right, so you've written some at the top. Are we going to talk about that now?
We are
going
to talk about that.
Okay, we're going to talk about Sony PlayStation 3.
Right, fresh out of the rumour mill, I've done some exclusive GamerCast digging. PlayStation 3 deposit, £150.
You're shitting me.
No, it's in fucking Games TM.
Look, it's supposed
so,
to
so
be
much,
a
so
game,
much for 20 quid.
It is not a games console now. It is.
It is a big expensive block.
This is like little Timmy, and he saved up all of his pocket money. It'd probably be cheaper for him to go out and buy like a.
It'd be cheaper to buy a Wii.
A 60-inch plasma widescreen TV to bolt onto his bedroom wall next to the Superman poster he has. You know, it's
the
just,
Wii is cheaper. Is probably cheaper than the PS3 deposit. It's ridiculous.
That's just it sickens me. It's like I thought they couldn't get any lower,
but they've got. They have. Also in Games TM, this is this month's episode of Games TM. I actually read it instead of just looking at the pictures. Sony owe the Japanese government 28 billion yen in unpaid taxes. They are really up their financial shitter.
Do you know what really is going to piss a lot of people off? Right, ready for it?
I'm braced, man. I'm
braced
in my chair.
Right? Now, you have to remember, chavs do play video games. So, and they make up
but
majority.
But chavs have no money.
Yeah. So, depending on how many can get the money, sell whatever they can, people are going to end up
stolen games.
Some stupid people are going to go out and buy Sony PlayStation 3.
Five people.
Right. But you know what's going to happen? Quite a few people, they're going to sell well. It's all going to go nicely.
They're going to sell well, but people are going to get fed up after 6 months when there aren't any games.
No, that's not going to happen.
They're
going to
get fed up after 10 minutes.
No. People are all going to have these. They're all going to be very happy, you know, and they're going to have...
Then they're all
going to
explode.
They're all going to ignore all the quirks that we would go, oh my God, why did I spend this much money on a piece of crap? You know, we won't bother. But they'll all be happy and everything's going to be successful and Sony will just go bankrupt. And they'll end up with all these boxes that they can't give back, and no one's making any games for it. You can see what's going to happen because it's not going. The PlayStation 3 might be a success, but it won't be enough to save Sony, and Sony will just fall off on the back.
Well, all of their departments are making a loss.
That's what I mean. Looking from the other aspect of it.
Also, in Sony-related financial troubles, have you heard the recent stories about the Dell laptops catching fire?
Yeah, I've seen a picture. It was on the news. They actually had one showing it going.
You know it was a battery that was causing it, right?
Yeah.
Guess who manufactures the batteries?
Shit, no.
Sony. And guess who stands to lose $450 million over that?
Oh my God.
So yeah, they're really up to financial shit, aren't
they?
So yeah, that's their battery division in loss for the next 10 years.
You know, that's like buying shares in a company that makes solar
power. Oh man, let's actually look up their shares, see how they're doing.
Buying a PlayStation 3 would like be like buying shares in a company that turned around and said, right, we're going to put all our money in solar-powered caving torches.
Let's look at the last 5 years.
Here we go.
Flat. How's that about? Sony haven't released anything which will make any money. Right, let's look at Microsoft.
Difference between the blue line and the red line?
The red line's Microsoft, the blue line is Sony.
Ah.
So you see, nothing upsets Microsoft's stock value.
No, we're just seeing up and downs and ups and downs. But
Sony,
it's
massive crashes all the time.
Yeah.
Because although it is up a bit at the moment.
If you're looking from 2002, it goes really, really high, and then into 2003, it's dropping. Between 2003 and 2004,
yeah,
it plummets.
That was when they took on that then new CEO. When Ken Kutaragi didn't get the CEO job, that's what caused that rise.
They are going up again, but
well, they're not going up; they're going to go back down.
That's what I mean.
Boo!
Apple. But
oh yeah, that reminds me. Apple have. I think I saw it was Apple have been threatened being kicked off the Nasdaq for not filing their stuff soon enough.
Really?
Yeah. No, you saw. Right. Anyway.
you can see that the PlayStation 3 is going to fall apart from the inside. It'll end up, it's got nothing to do with the console. It's just going to end up being the
company. You need to buy stuff for backwards compatibility. You know, £150 deposit.
Right, let's have a look at it, right? Xbox 360, right? You're
hey
a
man, stop being an Xbox fanboy. We get emailed about this, about you.
Right, I'm only using Xbox 360 for the one reason. It's the first new next-gen console that's out at the moment. We'd use the Wii, but it's not out
yet.
Oh
my god, Cloning Clyde! Has anyone played that?
No.
It's the new live arcade game. It's really good.
You have to clone Clive.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. Right.
And Pac-Man, and Street Fighter.
They're finding out. They have to come out after I lose my Xbox, don't they? Right.
Left.
Xbox 360 had two versions.
Which they shouldn't have done.
No. But anyway, it's like
behind the core, then wondering why it sucks.
If you bought the Uber version and you went and bought a full set of controller sets, three extra, and you bought the wireless adapter, and you wouldn't need to buy a headset, maybe you went for the extra remote because you did want the cooler remote. You know, you're not looking that much more. You're probably going to end up with maybe just going over the £500 mark for having everything, and that's not including games. Now, going for the top-end console on PlayStation 3, buying all of the extra bits for compatibility, all the other bits, God, we're going to be looking at near enough £700 plus if you wanted to own everything on release date, aren't you? And that's not even including buying a couple of £50 games.
£70 games.
£70.
Hopefully.
I must admit, I think it's everybody getting old, because everybody started whinging about 360 games being £50. Now, at the moment,
the previous generation were 45.
That's what I mean.
If you take inflation in, £45 plus inflation about 2% a year, you know, that easily comes to £50 in 5 years.
I was looking, ripping apart all my stuff to get my PC back into my bedroom. I found an old leaflet from EB advertising loads of N64 games.
And
most of them were $49.99. One of them was $59.99. You know, none of them were $39.99. They were like £45 or a penny off £50 or a penny off £60 for all these top-end N64 games. And I was thinking, God, I forgot these games used to cost this price. And we're whinging about Xbox 360, and it was also the fact that I found the prices for like the NES with games was under £200. It was close to the £200 mark for a NES with Mario 3, and then it dropped in price, got down to
Mario.
17. And Super Nintendo was exactly the same, and so was the Mega Drive. So I think that's the problem. We keep forgetting about how much things used to cost a while ago, and we keep thinking everything's cheaper, because eventually it does become cheaper.
Actually, no, it doesn't. There's only one country on Earth where every year prices were systematically lower than the year before. And that was the Soviet Union between 1929 and 1979, I think.
No, I meant the prices drop.
Yeah, the prices did drop.
I mean through the life of the console, not through the life of gaming in our country.
Well, that's retarded. I say prices should be more expensive. One, to force Sony out the market. Two, then we can bring the prices back down.
Raise them while they're here, and then as soon as they've gone, quietly knock them down. Don't tell Sony we're dropping the prices. Right, so yeah, we've done our Sony bit.
Right, can I just do something about dolphins?
Go on then, you do
this. This is my Evolution GamerCast special.
Yeah.
Some scientist, I think you pronounce his name Manger, Dr. Manger, he's reported that dolphins are less intelligent than goldfish.
Yeah, but goldfishes can only contain their memory for like 3 seconds and they forget it, don't they?
I don't know if they do or not, but the logic... The reason behind it was basically, if you've got a goldfish, what do you call it?
A goldfish bowl.
Yeah. The goldfish will try and jump out if the water's too high. Like if the surface is flat on top, the goldfish will try and jump out.
Mm.
Yeah, dolphins, if they're in their pen, even though the enclosure wall is maybe only a foot high, which dolphins can easily clear, if they don't try and jump out. And that's this guy's reasoning for why dolphins are less intelligent than goldfish. It's like, hang on, if the goldfish fucking jump out, they die. So surely that's a big sign of stupidity.
Yeah, and then a dolphin doesn't jump out because it knows, if I sit in this pen, some stupid woman in a tight top's coming over and is going to throw fish down my throat. Don't exactly. have to eat them in the water. They're going to put them down my throat. Me jumping over a fence and trying to swim after fish? Like that. I'm staying in the pen where I get fed. It's luxury. I've hit the big time. That's what that dolphin's thinking.
Damn right.
Exactly.
So yeah, but this is in all the... The media has covered it quite a lot, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
They have to be careful, because otherwise people will start thinking it. And then the whole...
All it is the fucking fishing companies who are trying to brainwash everyone into thinking dolphins are retarded, then yeah. we should harvest them and cut them up like whales, which Japanese people do, which is sick.
Because most people know...
Those Japanese vessels should be sunk on the spot.
You got a new insect in your bedroom.
Oh, not another one, what is it?
I don't know, it's got weird shaped wings that look like swords.
Squish it.
But yeah, they're trying to get the whole idea that people look at dolphins and go, ah, they're cute, and they're intelligent, so let's not kill them. They're trying to make
dolphins are our buddies, man.
Yeah, dolphins.
When people are out at sea, you just have to listen to Ned Flanders. You know, they tried to save him by laughing at him swimming off.
Have you ever seen that open water where there's people that get left behind when they go scuba diving and they have to float there in the ocean?
What, the two people?
Yeah, it was based off a true story.
No.
I watched it and the ending was absolutely amazing.
Then I guess a dolphin at them.
No, a dolphin turns up and they're like, ooh, it's a dolphin. And he's like, yeah, it's either a dolphin or it's a shark. And she goes, well, none of it's a dolphin. You swim up to the things that's trying to play with them and you're not moving, so it must be a shark. And he's like, it might be. And they ended up being surrounded by sharks and it's quite cool.
Shark?
Yeah.
Scary. The last thing we need is a giant shark. Eating people's
boats.
There
were lots of sharks and they wouldn't leave them alone. They followed them constantly.
So they should. Sharks are hungry. They want their food. They don't get free food like dolphins.
Yeah, they're not lucky. More sharks should be in captivity and given free food. Right.
Anyway, GamerCast.
Frontlines.
Yeah, that's that stupid video we watched earlier on.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
It's
like a Battlefield clone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got that sort of feel of like... It's trying to be close with Battlefield...
/ Ghost Recon.
Yeah, because Battlefield's bringing out their new 21...
42.
It doesn't seem as far into the future as that, but the armor and stuff is very kind of close to what the military are doing at the moment, which was for the basis of the characters in Ghost Recon. And...
Advanced Warman.
Yeah, Advanced Warman. It's...
I'm signed into people near me.
Looks okay, but it just kind of... And then they did the worst thing of all with the whole writing about the reason why we're fighting is because we're out of oil, and then here's the bit that Paul wants to talk about the oil that it comes out.
It came up, you know, they're fighting over the last drops of oil, you know, so it's blah, 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 and it was the last drops of oil are being drained from under the mantle. Now, I don't know about you, but I doubt there's a lot of oil under the mantle, which is like a molten iron core.
I'm going to drive my car on molten lava.
It's bloody ridiculous. I mean, who wrote that? What idiot? I mean, you just have to look at my blog. I did a blog post today. It was called Science in America. 40%, only 40% of Americans believe that we evolved from, you know, other animals.
Yeah.
And just look at this. This is scary. Da-da-da-da-da, my blog. There it is. There it is. All the different countries. Iceland comes out the top.
Well, Iceland are near enough.
Iceland is like 80%, yeah, that's true. And then like 10%, it's false.
Where are we?
United Kingdom is 6th.
Japan, France, and Sweden, Denmark are above us. We're above Norway.
The United States
and Ireland
beats only Turkey.
And then above, it really says something. There's United States, and below them is Turkey, above them is Cyprus, Latvia, Lithuania,
Bulgaria, Greece, Romania, Croatia, Austria, Poland, Slovak Republic, Switzerland, Malta, Portugal, Estonia, Czech Republic, Finland, Slovenia, Ireland, Luxembourg, Hungary, Netherlands, Italy, Germany, Spain, Belgium, Norway, the United Kingdom, Japan, France, Sweden, Denmark, Iceland.
When you start thinking of top countries and stuff like that, you start mentioning most of the ones at the top.
But look, 40% say it is outright false, and about 20% aren't sure.
And the outshore, if you look at it, because we're looking at a graph, and we've got blue on one side, which is true. Not sure is kind of a weird cream, and then false is red. And if you're looking at the trend, it's obviously pulling to the right as you get higher up to all the way up to Iceland, which it's more
which is 80% solid true.
True. Now you're looking at the North Shore. The North Shore is widest near the bottom. Greece is quite a lot North Shore, and it goes a bit more narrow towards America. But as it's going up to the top, it's shrinking and shrinking and shrinking of what's North Shore. So more people are definitely on their choice of where we come from. And,
and the reason is
scary.
Fundamentalism, fundamental religious beliefs in the United States, which was twice as much as any European country.
But also look at that. If you look at the band, it is pretty much half and half. Well,
it is half and half.
Yeah, the North Shore is kind of like
some mouldy old book is 50% of the population.
Hmm.
Now that sounds to me like Iraq or Iran, where you've got Islamic fundamentalism going on. Where you would, if this actually had, I mean, Turkey is the closest thing to an Islamic dominated country on there. You know, America is like in there with the Middle East. This is supposed to be the science and technological country on Earth, and yet it's in there. And they can't even get things like where fucking oil comes from. You're not going to have oil in the mantle or even under the mantle. It's just ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous thing in the whole universe. You know, they were just saying
it was in the ground.
It's like they've read some fucking pseudoscientific bollocks by some of those abiogenesis oil people who claim oil can spontaneously combust out of the ground. Damn it. That's why we're fucking swimming in it, aren't we? It just comes out of the ground for no reason. We've got an unlimited supply. We just have to keep pumping out. And it's all a big conspiracy theory.
Yeah, this endless oil is just a conspiracy theory to knock prices.
So anyway, front lines, don't buy it. Because the monkey, I do use the term monkey because that is what they are, doesn't even understand where oil comes from.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is, I guarantee you, within the next month, somebody's going to mention that to me in a fucking debate. I guarantee it. Every time something like this happens, you know, it pops up in... It hasn't happened with your Transformers trailer yet. But somebody is going to mention that, and they're going to use that as a basis of their argument against me, and it's like, dude, you're totally fucking wrong. But it's like, it was on a trailer, it must be true. No, the trailer's written by a fucking idiot.
I can make a trailer. Does that mean you'll believe me?
God's sake.
If I made trailers and people believed it, I think I could bring world order. I could make a difference between world order, and I could turn the whole entire planet into chaos with my sense of humor if people start believing the stuff I put on videos. But yeah. Speaking of which, we also had a look at...
So yeah, we're actually going to talk about games, or we're going to carry on talking about dolphins and oil.
I know, we'll go back on the games now. We had also had a look at...
I want to talk about the new planetary definitions.
Trailer for Battlefield 2... Not Battlefield 2,
Battlefield... 2142. Yeah. And I've got a problem with that. I reckon within 100 years, well, 140 years, we won't have mechs like that. We've got mechs with wheels on, but that's it.
Right, side order from something. I managed to find on YouTube something to do with looked at robots, and they actually had this seat that's got a set of legs, and they're controlling, and the guy was using joysticks and actually walking down a set of stairs in a robotic mech sort of thing. And this guy, these Japanese guys, have built
a big one.
Big one, and
but it's on wheels.
Yeah, and he goes, and it's firing balls out of a gun and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
I was quite impressed with that.
But it's still on wheels, because if you lift a leg up, the whole thing won't have balance and it'll just fall over.
Because I had to learn about this when I did animation, the whole hip control and the fact that the weight is positioned over the foot while you're walking, so you've got the sway in action, which you don't notice when you watch people walk, because when you're in walking sort of speed, you're not lifting the foot off the ground for very large amounts of time. But when you're running, you do leave the floor for a set amount of time, so you don't need it as much because you're...
Well, a human being can balance by shifting their weight over to onto one foot. A robot can't do that yet.
Yeah.
Well, it obviously can. We need, like, you know, to pump water around in it or whatever.
Yeah, they were showing one of these robots that can lift one foot up and balance on one leg, but it was seriously having to lean over, and he had to raise an arm and get his complete body weight over. But it's the maneuverability of the human body and the use of the spine that allows us to shift our body weight with a greater ease. But the Battlefield was looking quite good. The Titan system with those ships is going to add a new aspect to the game. It's nice to see that they've still got from Battlefield 2, when you got hold of certain areas, that you had the guns that mounted up and would start artillery firing certain positions. Here you've got missiles that will fire out of the ground and go after the Titan ships.
Missiles.
The good thing about it is you've got those helicopters that look like they're out of Command & Conquer 3.
Command
& Conquer 3, which are looking quite good. The fact that they're using them as a floating fortress instead of having a base that is a base of operations on the ground. The fact that it's got shields. The armoured vehicles were quite nice as well. The armoured vehicles...
Armoured!
When you get inside the armoured vehicle, you're in like a pod, and the armoured vehicles, when they get close enough, will fire the pods up into the air, and they will come down and land, a bit like in that scene in Halo 2, open up.
Halo!
And your team gets out, and then you've got to storm in past all the other team. If any of you played Battlefront 2 Star Wars, whenever you play on one of the maps where it's a space map, and you have to go from one ship to another using your fighters, fighting past each other, taking out the gun turrets, then landing into the hangar and having to fight your way through to the engine room or the shield generator. So you could put explosives on and blow it up. Similar sorts of tactics with this one, bar the fact there's no ships. It's literally trying to get onto the opposition's Titan, fight your way through, blow up the shield generator, blow up the thing, the main generator, get out and watch your Titan blow up. So having to defend your Titan... It's quite cool. The fact it's floating as well, so you've got an upwards position on the defense. It's going to give a new aspect to the whole quick gameplay of Battlefield. As well as they said that I've read that the customization of all the character sets of like sniper, assault, special forces are a little bit more customizable. Of just like you can customize them what groups you want of weapons together. They said that. I think it was either Special Forces or it might have been Sniper, have, instead of being completely camouflaged to hide themselves, actually have optic camouflage so that they're pretty much cloaked. So they're camouflaged against being shot at while snipering people out. Weaponry looks quite nice, the armor. Fair enough, we've only seen one map of skin of, like, it's the urban snow type camouflage.
Urban.
So there isn't showing much difference. The way that the tanks are moving around, it looks like it's got very similar controls to the tanks already in Battlefield 2, so it doesn't seem like it's going to be incredibly hard. It's not like, geez, I've got to go through a whole tutorial on learning how to drive a mech in this game. It is pretty much, if you can play Battlefield,
press W and you walk forward
and then press this button to rotate the top of the tank, and it's pretty much, the legs do all the work like the tracks would have done, and the top part works the same gun turret sort of position. So if you're a Battlefield 2 fan, you pretty much can pick up this game and play. It's just a new concept of the Titans, which will get people and the extra weapons. But if you're going to be looking for something where you're looking for the new ultimate Battlefield of the future sort of thing, we're not there yet. This is basically using, as far as it looks, the Battlefield 2 engine tweaked to make a new game, which is nothing wrong with it. With the fact they were just doing something and they were calling it Battlefield 3 and it was basically the same, that would have been like, oh, dude, you're just making an expensive... expansion pack.
At least they're doing something different with it.
Yeah, it's a completely different time frame. I'm liking the quirk of the whole, when they had, is it 1942?
Battlefield 1942.
I like the quirk of the fact that they've called it 2142.
Yeah, man, in 200 years' time, you're going to have machine guns which fire laser energy. I mean, isn't that just ridiculous? You know, surely then warfare, if assuming bourgeois society still exists...
Mm.
If warfare is still around, then why have fucking soldiers? Just fucking nuke the place.
Well, yeah, drones.
You know, look how weak their weapons seem to be. They were purely laser guns, which didn't really do anything.
Laser gun is like shooting a water pistol at a tank.
Take a phaser from Star Trek. You can pwn a whole regiment. Just one, boom. Regiment gone.
I think I still have my phaser somewhere.
You've got a phaser.
Yeah, I had it when I was a kid.
What a nerd. Does it really work?
Well, no, it just makes noises.
Oh, boring. We need a real ray gun, man. Right, anyways, are we going to talk about Galactic?
Yeah, Galactic Civilization 2. This will be our new review.
Review? I've only played it for 5 minutes.
Well, an over review. We will do a proper review later down the line, because I've only got it today, and we've had a quick go over it. Paul's had a quick play. Fair enough, if you've looked at this game and you've been kind of inkling over it like I have, if you are a Civ 4 nutcase, you may, and you do like science fiction, this may be a game for you, but one thing beforehand, this is not Galactic Civilization Civ 4. This is a completely different game, and it's not like, up the quality.
It's like Master of Orion, only not crap.
Yeah.
Because Master of Orion 3 was terrible. So if you want a game like that, Galactic Civilizations is the best. It's the best out of the bunch.
Yeah, I had a few kind of whinges about it. With
the UI is shit. The fact there's no grid on the server system is annoying, but you can turn it on in the options, I think.
Yeah, as well as the fact that you can't tell when you build stuff, but fair enough, I've only been playing for like half an hour.
You have to double click, I think.
Yeah, I think there's
but
windows...
It doesn't even make a noise to say...
Say you've done it. Because I ended up clicking on the scout ship, and I'm like, how do I do it? Before you knew it, I went to this option, and I found out how much of everything I was building. And blow me, I've got 9 scout ships all in process. And I couldn't figure out how to get rid of them. So I was like, fair enough, I've got 9 scout ships. I'll let someone else blow them up. So getting into the interface, fair enough. But I must admit, I probably would have been just as lost playing Civ 4. Seeing Civ 4 is one of the first Civs I've probably played properly.
Well, Civ 4 wasn't that bad. If you take Civ 2, that was terrible.
But without the tutorials, you would be lost. The good thing about it is, it doesn't have any of those first level tutorials. You literally jump straight back into the game. All the tutorials are played videos showing someone going through it. It's a woman's voice, and she talks you through all the aspects, but only to a certain depth. She's not going to sit there for ages going through every single button. She just takes you through the basics so that you know what area you're going into, you work the rest out yourself, just enough information to allow you to get going on every single aspect. Fair enough, the first one I skipped because it was how to save and start the game and stuff like that. It's like,
I think we can work that out.
Yeah. Picking of the game I went through just to find out, and it showed you about the customization of the characters, so you can actually make your own civilization or pick
make your own civilization full of monkeys.
Monkeys. Dr. Monkey for a head. Takes you through the first steps to try and show you for this game what should be your goals in those first 5 minutes of the first go and stuff. So it was showing you the area that you should be jumping straight into in the first clicks of the game. Bit like when
colonizing
you
colonizing Mars.
A bit like Paul colonized Mars, which I haven't got around to doing yet. A bit like when you play Command and Conquer, you automatically know the first thing you should do.
Although my home planet was called Fraggle Rock.
Fraggle Rock. Down to Fraggle Rock. Although it's kind of be like that animation Titan AE where they recreate Earth. He doesn't want to call it Earth 2 or Earth. He decides to call it Planet Bob. It's a joke, so it's called Planet Bob in brackets Earth. But I must admit, it is quite nice. The interface is nice. It's got a remembrance feel of Sid Meier's Civilization. Not in the sense of trying to copy, but trying to say it's this sort of game. It's kind of like you play Battle for Middle Earth, and you play Warhammer Dawn of War or Command and Conquer. You know, they're not trying to rip each other off, but they're playing on a similar basis.
They're all strategy games.
This is a Civ game. It's not saying, oh, I'm trying to be a space version of Civ 4. This is basically saying, I'm a Civ type of game. If you like Civilization 4 and you like science fiction, you may like me. Give me a go.
Well, Master of Orion 1 came out, it must have been in the same sort of time frame as Civilization. And then, I mean, they're all the same basic game.
Mm.
Turn-based, space strategy. Go around, build your civilization, your space civilization up, and so on.
Yeah.
But I mean, even the Civilization series touched on that with Alpha Centauri.
Yeah.
Even though I never played that.
Yeah, but I must admit, it would be quite nice if they eventually got it to the point where you could expand on civilization. So you really did start from the beginning of your civilization, and you took it all the way through to going out and conquering new planets, and you went completely sci-fi and out of the planet.
AKA Spore, only more conquest based.
Because I must admit, with Spore coming out...
With Spore, you're not trying to dominate other planets. Well, you are, but it's not an objective.
It's taking over space. You're going over and saying, that planet's not being used, yoink, I'm having that.
Or, that planet's got a civilization on it, let's blow it up.
Or that planet's got civilization, I like them, we're new friends, I'm going to block your house and be your neighbour.
It's a sandbox where you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. And I must admit, if it works well, as it really does look like it's going to be a good game,
Spore.
I I think it's going to bring an aspect that that sort of customization may start finding its way into other games, where the expansion of being able to come far away from your planet and being able to do stuff. Because fair enough, with this game, zooming in back into your planet, you can zoom into the planet and it unwraps the planet as a map, and you've just got this grid system with a few places and you can build whatever you want. It's not greatly detailed. It's not like you can zoom, like zooming in on Civ 4 and you've got the whole, you know, men walking around or anything like that. It does not go into that detail. It's about the space. But it's nice to be able to, the fact that instead of clicking on the planet, it says, oh, you've got this, this, and this on here. The fact you can actually get a kind of a small map and see, yes, I've built a factory in America, and I've built a cool party place in South Africa and stuff like that. And it's nice to be able to see what's on the planet and stuff, and allow you, when you conquered Mars, there was only so much of Mars you could actually...
Hey, I didn't conquer Mars.
You colonized
it. There's nobody on there.
You colonized it. You conquered
when
the rocks.
When I conquer people, I'll let you know. It'll be on my 10,000 tanks roll over someone else's city.
You know when you were playing the game and you had that extra ship and you moved that around and you thought that was the colony one and then you went back to grab the other one? Well, you need that one if you do want to conquer. You take both of them, you have your ship full of your men, your soldiers and stuff, and then you take that one, you bombard them from the planet, and then you send
Sheed.
Them... You send
land
them
your
down,
troops. And be manly. Just land your troops.
And then it's
the
got
troops.
This kind of thing where it allows you to conquer, and using all the stats, it actually plays the match through. So, you know, like when you play Civilization, you just see the men throwing spears at each other and stuff like that. You've got no control of what's happening.
It's a dice throw.
Yeah, it's the same thing here. You'll show both armies on the ground facing each other, and they'll just start battling. Same when you actually have space battle. You can zoom around the whole space battle, and you can actually hit pause, rewind, go all the way to the front, to the end of the battle. You can zip all the way back to the beginning and watch it from a different angle. And then if you want to, just skip straight to the end, say, yep, this person won, yada, yada, yada. And it shows you all the stats of who's winning what shot and who's using what weapons in the battle. So it's all there if you want to see it. If you wanted to, you could just click skip to the end. I won the battle, I get the planet sort of thing, or I've
hey man,
destroyed that.
Get your own planet.
So
this is my planet.
I'm quite impressed with it. For a Civ-type game, you know, it's no Civilization 4. It's like three steps backwards, but it's got space.
For those people who are disappointed with Masters of Orion, get this instead.
Yeah, you'll definitely be more pleased with this. If you like Civilization 4 and you're a fan of it, and you thought you might want to try something different and not expect something to be better, but it's just a game there that you might enjoy, definitely give this a go. Especially for a price of, it's like...
£20.
£20 in game, $14.99 if you got it from
play.com
sort of thing. So, you know, it was quite an expensive game when it came out. It didn't last too long. I don't think it got enough pushing on the sale of it. Website is quite good. They do push a lot more with stuff about... and downloads and stuff like that. You can download new maps and stuff. And one thing that I do like about it, it is a proper Civ game. On the video for it, the woman's voice was saying that if you pick the tiniest map, that would probably keep you going for at least an afternoon. If you went for the uber large solar system map, you'd probably be at the game for at least a week or
good.
Less. So if you want one of these games where you'll be playing it a bit each night and go for, if you're only doing it for like 3 hours a night when you get home from work and you wanted it to last, you could have the thing going for weeks and weeks and weeks by yourself. So, and like all Civilization, you can win by conquering the entire galaxy, amount of land, through politics, building stuff. It's the whole same ways of winning as you do in Civ 4. So I think if
yeah,
you're
man, let's get some cultural victory going on.
Exactly.
Easiest way to do it. Although it's a bit hard in Civ 4.
The other quirky thing is, as soon as you start playing, it's one of those things that you've got to try and build, is universal communicators. If you don't build them, you can't talk to anyone, so people start ignoring you.
On the plus side, you don't talk to anyone.
Yes, you can ignore everybody because you're ignorant and you don't want to think. But the other cool thing is, you can accidentally cause yourself to start a galactic civil war with another race and not even know you've done it because you can't talk to them. So, you know, there's little nice little touches like that. So, I must admit, I was quite impressed. I was a little bit worried that, you know, fair enough, it's £20. But I was like, I've got Warlords for Civ 4, and it's like, am I really going to play it?
Have you played Warlords yet?
No, I haven't had a chance yet. I'm probably going to play more once I've got my monitor and I've got everything back upstairs. But, no, I must admit, quite impressed with this. I was nearly tempted to get the full collection of Command & Conquer because I was feeling Command & Conquer-y.
But like, I talked about it.
Yeah, just for the fact that it
just for the fact you never fucking play it.
Yeah.
What else did we talk about?
Because I must admit, I only have to wait till next year and then Command & Conquer 3 will be out, and it's like, would I ever play on anything before Command & Conquer 3? I have Command & Conquer Generals, which you're borrowing at the moment, and if I ever got in the Command & Conquer mood, that probably would do me fine. So, yeah, I was kind of put off with that. What else did I have a look at in while I was in?
Mm-hmm.
It was, Prince of Persia pack.
I was only talking to you to go about doing more.
Yeah, and X3, which I was nearly tempted to. Ah, that's what I was going on about. It's on here. The demo is on here. The Darky one. What's it called?
Dark Star 1,
which had a great line written in PC Gamer, which is actually, they've got the review stamped on the front cover, but the review actually says Dark Star 1. I wonder what the sequel's going to be called. But it looks kind of like a X3 style rip-off game where you're a space fighter, but you can go around and do other things, and you've got that whole own your ships and like the civ base is built into it of the money, but not great detail. Don't know, demo's on here, I might have to give it a go. You never know, it might be a better storyline. They did have the whole bounty hunter thing built into it and stuff, and I'm kind of like, but is it an X3? You know, X2 was good. X3 looks better, but I want to know, the people out there, anybody who's played X2, have you ever got past the jump gate level? Where you have to go to the jump gate and read or find this plaque that is attached to it. I've never found it once. I never could get any further. It was stupid. I've never played the game since. But, I'm quite impressed with Civilization 2. I will get round to playing Warlords and do a better review on it. I will do another review on Galactic Civilization 2 on how I think about it once I get into it. One last thing, the customization of the ships is quite cool. You get a basic ship with all these little red triangles that basically show you where you can clip on all the customization stuff, so you can really build pretty much whatever you want to build. And I've seen some mods that are quite cool where people have got some really, really stupid stuff built for their Galactic Empire, which is...
Ooh, Galactic.
Yeah. But if there's anybody out there that is kind of like, ooh, it, looking on the box, it's got that kind of, it looks just like Star Wars, that new one that came out, the Empire, whatever it's called.
Empire at War.
Remember, this is gameplay, this is Civ 4. It is turn-based. You do as much as you can, take over, let someone else have a go. Normally it's a computer, it's done really quickly, and then it's your go. There's none of this click here and fly your ships around and quick make decisions. It's not a RTS space
game. It's a turn-based strategy game, not exactly a real-time strategy game. Right, anyway. Is that all our topics for today?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
New things done out on the website front.
Come on.
The website is now funky. Let's have a look at gamercast.net. Look what happens when you click a link now. It doesn't go back to blog.thesmirnoff.net.
It actually says gamercast.net 2006 and our episode.
And if you actually look on the blog.thesmirnoff.net, the Gamercast link thing is... does actually take you to gamercast.net.
Oh.
So that is sorted.
Well, that's nice. Nicely fixed. No, I'm liking that. As well as... if anybody can design a really cool t-shirt for the show, please send your drawings in, or not, you don't necessarily have to draw the t-shirt, just the logo that we can put on the t-shirt and we'll do the rest and put it onto Cafe Thingy Bob.
Which Cafe quite... Lame, where you can buy crap. Although there is still one problem with the site. If you do a limit query on the SQL database, it doesn't get all the entries right. So it thinks our latest episode on the archives is February. That's a bug with MySQL, I think. So, yeah.
Okay.
On the plus side, search box. Yeah.
We have a search box.
We've always actually had a search box.
Cool. So if you want to listen to us try and find a game or something that we may have talked about, then
have we got the PS2 episode up on YouTube yet?
No, but the Xbox, the PS2 has been thrown away. My dad goes, right, this is either living in your bedroom or it's going in the bin. I was like, I don't want the glued together PS2.
Why did you throw it away, man? We could have done it as a charity. We could have, you know, got a load of money.
I think we'll just have to. It's a good excuse to go find something else to blow up.
Yeah, let's blow up a PSP.
We have to try and get hold of one.
Oh, if, man. If chisel, someone's... hammer, bang.
Chop it completely in half.
Yeah.
I think whatever we do next time, we will have to weave it after it's done with the video, and we'll have a shorter video next time. So if anybody's got anything, console that is completely dead, and you...
It doesn't... We would rather an alive console.
Yeah.
Like a brand new PSP.
But the PlayStation 2 that we did the video with was working. The only problem was it was scratching discs and was making large amounts of noise. But as far as that, the hardware itself worked. It was literally just a CD tray and the CD bit, the motor and all that had gone. So, you know, if you've got something that's basically, you can't get any money for it whatsoever, if you want to donate it to us, we'll trash it on a video, because I'm looking forward to doing something like that, especially while it's warm, because the last time we did it, it was absolutely freezing. My hands were going numb trying to do stuff to it.
That's why we should set it on fire.
Yeah, I think we'll have to do something a little bit more
violent.
Yeah,
like a sledgehammer.
I did like the breeze block. I wish I'd just done loads of breeze blocks.
Yeah, but tacky. But we need to use, like, dynamite.
Yeah, we do need to get explosive stuff.
But then we get arrested for being terrorists.
Yeah.
Because you can't even have hand cream without being arrested
for
being a terrorist now.
Yeah, you got hand cream and you're kind of freaking out on an airplane. You're crazy woman going, hand cream, terrorist. You know, you get arrested and they have to drop the plane onto the concrete and they have to kind of like, right, we have every piece of luggage, even though it's got nothing to do with the luggage on the plane, has to be put in a nice little pattern on the runway, and we open each one individually. And 4 hours. Yeah.
And that's good, isn't it? The Sony batteries and Dell laptops catching fire.
Yeah, just imagine before this had happened, one had done that on a plane.
Yeah.
Someone went, a terrorist attack! It's a Dell laptop trying to take over the plane. I'm a Dell laptop, I'm going to blow up.
I mean, the thing is, the amount of explosives they could actually smuggle on isn't really enough to bring down a plane. It will depressurize it and make a hole in the cabin, in the thing, but it's not going to do anything.
And the most success, you'd lose around about maybe 4-6 tops passengers, including the terrorists that did it.
Yeah, so that's the terrorist deal. We shouldn't have to spend any money taking them to court.
Yep. I think
we need to remote control planes. How cool would that be? A remote control 747.
No, even better. Remote control Spitfire or something like that.
Oh, boring.
Some plane that has a built-in bomb release for 10 bombs. And then we attach
10 bombs.
Yeah, then we attach a PSP to it and get someone to do like a barrel roll or something and then drop the PSP from a great height and then have it land into like traffic or something.
We need to find someone who's got a remote control plane and then drop our consoles out of it.
Yeah.
Because it would carry a PSP quite easily, wouldn't it?
Yeah, drop a PSP remote control.
It probably wouldn't carry an Xbox.
It might slide along the floor really slowly.
You see it trying to take off like this.
And he's like, yes, he's moving around about 4 centimeters a second. He'll take off in about 4 years.
Indeed.
Mm. So yeah, I would say if anybody's got, right, we want letters. I'm on a demand here. We want letters. We want all the abusive shit you can give us. We want stuff shoved into the portals. No matter, have arguments. We want death threats.
Have you seen the new thing I put up on the banner now? You know, it was world domination is tough by yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, all these creationists have been bugging me. It's now leave your unnatural creature worshipping at the door.
Cool. What else?
I don't think any of them have like got it that it's, you know, God, it's unnatural because he's not natural. Ooh, someone's posted in the planetary definition thread.
We want new t-shirts. We want voice recorded letters.
Oh god, it's not fucking liquid hydrogen, you dumbass.
That's about it. That's all we're wanting at the moment, isn't it?
What?
We want letters, posts on the blog.
Audio letters.
Audio letters, some arguments and some verbal abuse on port forums in the Gamercast section, as well as everywhere else. We want t-shirts, designs.
We want people to buy lots of t-shirts.
And some
really cool, because we've not made any money.
And some comments. We lost lots of comments.
If someone like buys 1,000 t-shirts, we'll buy any console of your choice and destroy it.
Hmm. Yeah, if we hit the 1,000 mark t-shirt, we will go out, buy a PlayStation 3. That just costs too much. Maybe...
Yeah, PlayStation 3. Let's do it, man.
Alright then. If people buy 1,000 t-shirts, we will go out and spend the money from that and actually buy a PS3. And it actually, if we actually went out and bought a PS3, then I think before we destroyed it, we would have to do a video review of how rubbish it is and stuff, of our own video review on it.
No.
Then we would actually have to put some serious effort into getting someone to do some ultimate destruction to it. You know, stuff that would normally be illegal for us to do. Take it somewhere for someone else to really...
Well, you can borrow one of those, you can borrow a Lynx helicopter, can you?
Without being arrested. Not without being arrested.
You work there, just say, hey, I'm just borrowing this for the weekend. Let's go in there.
I don't have any access to Lynx. They don't build anything in my hangar yet.
Oh no. What do they build there?
They will be building the president's aircraft, but...
The president's aircraft? President who?
Well, whoever's president after Monkey Man.
Oh, Bush.
Yeah.
So the U... Oh my god. You're telling me the US president's plane is being built in Westlands?
Helicopter.
He gets a helicopter? Cool, I want a helicopter.
You know, the Marines fly the helicopters, because he flies from the White House in a helicopter to Air Force One and then goes from Air Force One onwards. So it's called Marine One.
Right, you need to sabotage it.
No, I like my job. Now, what we
need... Oh, fine, don't be arrested then.
What we need is we need some sort of construction site or something.
We need some kind of atomic bomb.
Why does that picture look like your girlfriend's tied up?
She is.
Okay.
She's tied up with chains and rope and a thing in her mouth.
She got into that sort of, what's it called, escape artism or something?
Maybe.
Cool.
Right, anyway.
Yeah, so with those are the demands.
You have to borrow a helicopter and some guns and shit.
That way we could always get my dad to get some even better tools to really, really do some awful shit to it.
Like what, an anti-tank gun?
I don't know, I was quite amused by the...
Oh man, imagine what an anti-tank gun would do to it. It would be pwned.
If you got a gun with a large enough caliber, actually shoot it out of the gun.
Cool.
Shoot it out of a cannon.
Yeah, so if anyone's got a cannon, we'll borrow it.
Yeah.
So that's it. A 1,000 t-shirts and a cannon, and we're sorted.
Yeah, we'll go buy a PlayStation 3 and shoot it out. Do you know what happened... You know what the most ironic thing would be?
What?
Someone actually says, I do have a cannon that's got the caliber size big enough to fire out a PS3. All those people buy 1,000 t-shirts, and then before the Sony PlayStation 3 comes out, they go bust and they don't release any. I'd still be happy.
On the plus side, we get all that money.
Yeah. And a cannon. I'm sure we could blow a PS2 out of it. Slimline. Couple of slimlines and separate off.
We could do a crap game of the week and blow it up. Every week, we blow up a new game.
Yeah, we could do
Sims 2, this is crap, in the canon.
Oh, if we had our own TV show, I would demand that to be part of the contract. We have to blow up the crappest game. All releases have to be reviewed and the crappest game gets fired out of Gamercast's canon. off the top of the building. Or it could be a massive catapult or something, and we literally catapult it. And then we've got loads of people on another roof with guns. It's like, pull! And just shoot the DVD up to pieces.
Yeah, man, so if anyone can sort us out with, like, a trebuchet or a cannon, or even a, you know, primitive catapult.
Or the duck-flinging thing for clay pigeons.
Boring. We need siege weapons that can take down enemy castles.
Yeah, we want siege weapons for the fact that we don't want people shooting at it straight away. It needs to have a good piece of flight time, and it says it's coming to its end, then it starts being shot at.
Why don't we just get a mini volcano as well? Why don't we just go hardcore? hardcore with like Captain Planet's natural disasters.
Underwater mini volcano. Gotta have all the water bubbling. Better effects. With a little mini sub. That's what a mini sub sounds like.
Yeah, I don't think we can afford one of those.
Oh, okay. We won't have a Game of Cast mini sub.
I mean, we could build.
Can't roll cut out, we'll just blue screen it.
We could build a catapult, we could build a trebuchet, but, you know, a miniaturized submarine is pushing our engineering skills, unless we can blag loads of cool stuff.
We could go to that shop in town that does all the aqua fish tank stuff. We could just get a fish tank and do it all in miniatures, so they're on these transparent rods, and we're going.
I think somebody would notice that it's a
mini volcano. We could take pictures of us with digital camera and then just glue them on there, so it looks like we're going. Or they could just put little squares of blue or green, or something, or orange, and orange screen us. Okay, that's going too far. We won't have a Game of Cast.
Where did all this start from?
I don't know. We'd have to rewind the episode to find out. But yes, we want all what I listed before. We
catapults,
want
trebuchets, cannons,
t-shirt
submarines ideas,
decent letters. You start telling us about some games and see what we want to hear what you guys
think.
Yeah,
we can't be bothered to do all the work. Why should we do the work? Nobody buys our fucking t-shirts.
Because at the end of the day, this is our opinions. This is your show as well. You get some of your opinions on games.
Well, any profits are our profits, not your profits.
If you've got a new game that you've bought and we have not mentioned it, write a review and send it to us. We'll read it out. I don't mind doing that.
Or better yet, do it yourself. Record the audio.
Yeah. Record a short audio of a quick review about it, send it to us, and we will play
it on
the show.
There's no limit on the size of the emails my account can have. So if you've got a 50 megabyte review, email it.
Yeah.
I don't care, man. My connection is 56 kilobits per second. I can download 50 megabytes in a fortnight. Sorted, no problem.
So yeah, we want a bit more feedback from you guys. Bring us the feedback. You know, if you're a long time listener and this is your first time calling, please just give us a go, you know.
Oh my god. We should get a phone in, like people can phone in while we're doing the show. That's the thing, we're gonna have to start doing a live episode soon as well.
Yeah.
Because when I get the new build, hopefully Windows Media Encoder will work.
Ooh, so again. GamerCast Live will be back.
Yeah.
Groovy.
No, not really. It was too much hassle.
Yeah, it was. But it was cool because we had.
It wasn't cool. We only had like Catherine on.
And we had loads of moments when Adam would. You're doing something and I'd shut up because I was reading the chat room so that I could see what people were saying to us.
Yeah, right.
Let's play balls.
Well, you can actually close the episode or not, because it's
okay.
The last 20 minutes have been you going on about cannons and shit.
I'm watching the nice blue ball. Okay, right. So this was GamerCast.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. It was episode 39, so next week is 40.
Yep. Cool. We're 40 years old, man.
40 episodes. But don't worry, we won't retire at episode 60.
Or 65 soon.
We're going to try and make it to 100. I must admit,
100 is no problem, man.
Yeah,
because even if you die, I can get a robot to replace you.
So why the hell haven't you got a robot to replace me when I've been on holiday?
That's too much hassle. It's only worth it if it's long term.
Okay. Well, anyway, just so you people out there don't start worrying, the only thing that's letting the show down at the moment is the lack of games that's out at the moment. It is picking up, and soon we'll be having a hard time fitting most of it in, especially the fact that we've got two next-gen consoles being released. So we've got one to get really excited about.
And one to
one that's already out, and the other one to really say, how crap is this? So, yeah. I'm Adam.
Yeah, you're Adam. That's right, man.
And he's Paul. And this was GamerCast, and we'll see you next week. Laters.